SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water.
Yura Damarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Wednesday, the 12th of June. Coming up on today's show, NITV Radio catches up with Bangarra dancer Amber Lily Gordon, ahead of Bangarra's premiere of their new dance production Horizon, opening at the Sydney Opera House tomorrow night before touring across Australia. Amber chats to us about her dance journey and Bangarra's latest piece, which is their first ever main stage cross-cultural collaboration. And also coming up, the achievements and service of 737 remarkable Australians have been recognised in the 2024 King's Birthday Honour List. The list reflects the diversity of Australian society, with many recipients from migrant and minority communities. And we share a few stories from our NITV news team. All these stories coming up after the latest news headlines.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, federal government funding announced targeting period poverty in the NT. US evaluating Hamas's response to ceasefire proposal. And in sport, NRL star Jared Haynes' rape conviction overturned. The Aboriginal Medical Services Alliance, Northern Territory, or AMSANT, has welcomed federal government funding aimed at targeting period poverty in remote First Nations communities. The Australian government has announced it will provide $12.5 million over 4 years to the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation to work with communities to distribute free period products. The cost of these products in some remote communities in the Northern Territory can be almost doubled what is paid in metropolitan areas. Erin Lou Fatt is the Deputy CEO of AMSANT. She says the community distribution is critical.
An important part of this announcement is the funding being allocated to our national peak body, NACHO. This will ensure a community-led approach that will engage and work together to create access to these products. It will allow our women, our girls and our gender-diverse people to feel comfortable to continue working and living, you know, comfortably every day.
Yesterday, hundreds of people gathered in northern New South Wales to remember a notorious massacre of Aboriginal people in 1838. 28 Aboriginal men, women and children were killed by a group of 11 settlers at Mile Creek Station in June 1838. Seven of the perpetrators were later put on trial, convicted and executed in a national first. Hamas has responded to a US-backed proposal for a Gaza ceasefire and hostage release, with some remarks on the deal, Qatari and Egyptian mediators say. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby says Hamas's response is being examined.
We're in receipt of this reply that Hamas delivered to Qatar and to Egypt, and we are evaluating it right now. And I think that's really as far as I'm going to go today. Just that that we have this response and we're working our way through it and looking at it.
Hamas and the smaller Islamic Jihad militant group say they are ready to deal positively to arrive at an agreement and that their priority is to bring a complete stop to the war. Senior Hamas official Osama Hamdan says the group had submitted some remarks on the proposal to the mediators. The foreign ministries of Qatar and Egypt have said in a joint statement that they are evaluating the response and that they would continue their mediation efforts along with the US until an agreement is reached. An Israeli official says the country received Hamas's answer and that Hamas changed all of the main and most meaningful parameters. Global pressures will continue to impact Australia's economy as Treasurer Jim Chalmers sets a course for a final approach towards low inflation. The Treasurer is confident that Australia's economy will recover despite concerns about low growth and high inflation. Australia's economy grew 0.1% in the March quarter, with gross domestic product on a per capita basis falling for the fifth consecutive quarter. Dr. Chalmers says he is cautiously confident that the economy can get back on track.
This is what a soft landing on a narrow runway would look like. An economy still growing, inflation coming back to band, unemployment with a four in front of it, tax cuts and rising wages supporting a gradual recovery in consumption, and a sensible approach to budget repair buffering us against uncertainty. Now, this is the soft landing that we are cautiously confident of, but not complacent about. Just as a soft landing in the global economy is assumed, but not yet assured.
A public policy analysis group says Australia's childcare system can be reformed to cost families as little as $10 a day or nothing for low-income households. The Centre for Policy Development's 10-year plan aims for a universal childcare building on recent political momentum. The Albanese government has already increased subsidies and initiated investigations into the sector. A key recommendation is to entitle all young children to at least 3 days a week of free or low-cost childcare, echoing a recent Productivity Commission paper. Gamblers can no longer use credit cards and digital currency to fund online betting as the government tries to address problem gambling. Credit cards linked to digital wallets, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and any other new forms of credit are included in the ban. The changes bring rules for online betting in line with in-person gambling regulations, with a penalty of more than $200,000 for companies who don't comply. There are no changes to paying for online lotteries, which will still allow credit card payments. The World Health Organization says a four-year-old in West Bengal, India, has contracted bird flu. The infection is linked to exposure to poultry at home, with no other family members showing symptoms. The child was hospitalized in February with severe respiratory issues, high fever, and abdominal cramps, and was discharged after 3 months of treatment. The World Health Organization has not provided details on the child's vaccination or antiviral treatment. The US Department of Health and Human Services is in talks with manufacturers about a potential mRNA flu vaccine to supplement existing flu vaccine stocks. Richard Webby is a flu researcher at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee.
What the COVID-19 pandemic taught us was some of these newer technologies can be used to rapidly prepare vaccines against emerging threats like the H5 virus.
Former NRL star Jared Haynes' rape convictions have been squashed after a successful appeal. The 36-year-old, who spent a year in prison after being convicted in April 2023, had his convictions overturned by the New South Wales Court of Criminal Appeal. The court found that the trial judge erred by not allowing further cross-examination of the complainant and by failing to properly direct the jury regarding allegations of the complainant lying. A new trial has been ordered, but whether Hain will face it is up to prosecutors. Bail for Hain is being considered. A Gamilaroi elder who has dedicated her life to improving education opportunities for Indigenous people is one of 737 remarkable Australians recognised in the King's Birthday Honours. Arnie Beryl Van Oplu has taught hospitality and employment skills for 50 years, first at TAFE and then through the Job Ready program she developed in Sydney's Redfern 18 years ago. At 81, she still runs the Yama Bage Catering Company, working alongside former students and promoting the use of Indigenous ingredients.
There was nowhere for us to find employment for our students that we trained. So I set up my own catering company, so I became the employer as well, not to make money, and but to give our mob an opportunity to work and then eventually go on their own journey.
This year, half of those honoured in the prestigious awards were women, with ages ranging from 29 to 98. The Socceroos have beaten Palestine 5-0 in Perth to finish their first phase of qualifying for the World Cup, with a perfect 6-from-6 wins and a 22-0 for-and-against record. Socceroos coach Graham Arnold has set his team the goal of dominating the next round of World Cup qualifying. Despite their dominance, it was not enough for Australia to overtake South Korea in the world rankings, meaning they miss out on a spot in Pot 1 for the next round of qualifying. Only the top two teams from each group of six in the next phase will earn automatic qualification for the 2026 World Cup. And now for a look at today's weather. Broome, sunny 31, Perth, showers 20, Adelaide 18, Melbourne, showers easing 13, Hobart, much the same 10, Albury-Wodonga 13, Canberra also 13, Wollongong, wind easing, partly cloudy 17, Sydney, partly cloudy 19, Newcastle, mostly sunny 20, Brisbane, also sunny 24, Townsville, also sunny 28, Cairns, much the same 27, Alice Springs, sunny 26, Darwin, also sunny 31, and the Torres Strait Islands, partly cloudy 31. And that is NITV Radio News.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Luana Grant, and you're listening to NITV Radio. Still to come on the show, NITV Radio catches up with Bangarra dancer Amber Lily Gordon, ahead of Bangarra's premiere of their new dance production, Horizon, opening at the Sydney Opera House tomorrow night before touring across Australia. And also coming up, the achievements and service of 737 remarkable Australians have been recognised in the 2024 King's Birthday Honour List. The list reflects the diversity of Australian society, with many recipients from migrant and minority communities. But first, here are a few stories from our NITV news team. First Nations teachers, scientists, artists and community leaders have joined more than 700 Australians recognised in this year's King's Birthday Awards. NITV News reporter Dan Rennie spoke to some of those honoured for a lifetime dedicated to improving the lives of our people and communities.
There isn't much Gamilaroi elder Aunty Beryl hasn't done.
I call it the Aboriginal caviar. See the little pink bubbles?
Teacher, cook, restaurateur, businesswoman and mentor, honoured with an OAM for her tireless work promoting healthy cooking and Indigenous ingredients and helping the community through the power of education.
Because if you have an education and you have a voice, you have a choice.
For more than two decades, she has trained First Nations students with her successful Job Ready program.
If I see one of them graduate or one of them go on their own journey and have a better quality of life, then I'm doing my job.
At 81 years young, she shows no signs of slowing down. Still at the helm of her Yama Barangay Catering Company.
It's about the next generation with me, and while I've got my help, I will continue to do this.
Bundjalung artist Dr. Bronwyn Bancroft has been recognised in the higher AM category for her significant contribution to the arts. On top of her decades of service, she's also a founding member of Bumali Aboriginal Artists Cooperative, one of Australia's longest-running Aboriginal-owned and operated art galleries. Considered one of WA's most influential women, Vanessa Elliott has also received an AM for her leadership in mining and public administration.
So in the last 60 to 70 years, we've been through what the Western world took 2,000 years to go through. So it's not about us increasing our resilience. It's actually about industry and society at large recognising the resilience and the adaptation that we've already been through and creating room for us in the marketplace.
The chairman of Queensland Rugby League's Indigenous Advisory Council, Edward Manet, has dedicated his life to developing First Nations talent in the sport.
For a First Nations man like myself, in society today, to be given a recognition like this is quite unique. I'm one that's all about the advocacy of our people. And advocacy is a strong word and a word that I use very loosely because accountability, transparency has not always been something clear for us in this country. And
from elders to academics, all recognised for improving the lives of mob and inspiring them. Dan Rennie, NITV News.
A remote Northern Territory community is celebrating its achievements 50 years after defying orders to stop teaching in language. Correspondent Letitia Lemke travelled to Yirrkala in northeast Arnhem Land, 900 kilometres from Darwin, where bilingual schooling has been a success story.
A traditional ceremony to celebrate a hard-won victory in this remote government school.
We're really keen to continue to support you to do whatever we can to promote the amazing work that happens at this school.
Painted and proud, students here learn the curriculum in more than a dozen traditional languages, supported by Yolngu and non-Indigenous teachers.
Yolngu Mate is their first language and English is their second language. Yeah. And this is what they're comfortable in when they're in the classroom.
It's been half a century since bilingual schools were established in the Northern Territory under the Commonwealth. The Territory achieved self-government in 1978, and since then both major parties have tried to dismantle the system. They've been met with unwavering defiance from Yolngu elders and teachers.
We just kept doing what we thought was appropriate for this school.
We don't want the language to lose, because language is very important because it's our identity, who we are, where we come from, and we can't take that away.
The bravery to stand up for bilingual education now has government support.
It wasn't an easy fight, but they fought not just for here, but they fought for every other region in the Northern Territory and across the country.
The local member for this electorate of Mulka says he's a product of bilingual education in nearby Galawinku and took those principles of respect to Parliament House.
The first thing I walked into Parliament House, I spoke Yolngu Mate and they said, no, 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 no. I pushed three times and finally they said, yo, you can use Yolngu Mate in Parliament. So it's there.
The next step is getting better recognition for the Yolngu teachers leading these classrooms.
Every single one of our Yolngu staff is involved in training, and that also has been a battle to keep that going through different funding.
The Department of Education wants to grow more teachers in remote communities too. They're bringing back the programs that nurtured teachers like Senior Australian of the Year, Professor Yame Yunipingu, with further announcements expected in the near future.
The Sydney Film Festival has opened with the premiere of a First Nations horror movie, The Mugai. It'll be one of a number of feature films in the running for the $35,000 First Nations Film Prize, the richest of its kind in the world.
The Mugai began as a proof-of-concept short film which won multiple awards across the globe. It tells the story of a young mother terrorised by a malevolent spirit she believes is trying to take her children.
It's an allegory for the stolen generation, and I think there's... You know, it's a great movie to explore, you know, such an issue through a genre film, which I don't think we've seen many in Australian films.
Mugai is written and directed by Wiradjuri Bundjalung Eagleman John Bell. It had its world premiere at the prestigious Sundance Film Festival in the US, becoming the first Australian Indigenous film to screen in the midnight section. It stars Maine Wyatt and Shari Sevens and examines underlying themes of colonialism and the stolen generations through the lens of a horror film.
To touch on those issues and explore it through horror because it is a horrible, it is a horror, you know, and the effects of colonization in Australia is horrible, and it's ongoing, and I think that's what John wants to talk about, wants to touch on, and, you know, it's explored through the film.
It's really important, I guess, to have an international film festival shine a light on our stories. It just gives us another platform and voice to our, you know, issues, and they're not always issues, that we have so much to celebrate as well in our culture, and but I guess the emphasis is on authentic storytelling.
Angela Bates says securing sponsorship for the richest First Nations film prize in the world is a coup for the Sydney Festival.
The First Nations films will be in competition with each other, and it'd be really great to see, you know, who ends up winning that cash prize. Hopefully it's an Australian film. Hopefully it's the Mulgai, but I guess, you know, I'm biased because we supported that and it's Australian.
The winner of the prize will be announced on Sunday. Chris Eleanor, NITV News.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. The achievements and service of 737 remarkable Australians have been recognised in the 2024 King's Birthday Honour List. The list reflects the diversity of Australian society, with many recipients from migrant and minority communities. For 26 years, Dr. Carl Lee has worked in motorsports medicine, including 17 years as the medical delegate for Supercars Australia. As well as responding to crashes, he's developed safer and faster methods for rescuing drivers from a vehicle and shared his knowledge at events around the world, including Singapore's inaugural Formula One.
That was probably one of the highlights of my motorsport career, was going to Singapore and seeing that event become what it is today. Highly successful, very safe, and a great spectacle. A lot of what I try and do is just to try and keep it simple and prevent anyone from being injured. Passing on the knowledge and passion to other medical officials to carry on the torch as well. You know, we have made it safer, I believe, in the world of motorsport.
He's been awarded a Medal of the Order of Australia for services to medicine in motorsport. But he's also one of 34 King's Birthday Honours recipients to earn a place on the COVID-19 honour roll. At the height of the COVID pandemic, he helped produce 10,000 face shields for hospital staff around Australia, with funding from Erebus Motorsports.
They're all donations, and I know that they were very well received. We got a lot of letters and emails back from intensive care units and EDs where they didn't have access to face shields.
He then helped develop even more personal protective equipment, such as face masks adapted from scuba masks, all while working as an emergency doctor at a Melbourne hospital. Harinder Kaur has been recognised for services to the community. When her eldest son, Haram, died in a car accident in 2012, she was devastated by grief and searched for a service that would understand her cultural perspectives.
I realised that culturally, we are a little bit different. Then a grieving process is same, but everyone grieves differently. And at the time, I thought that there is a need of creating a support group, which can be coming from the South Asian community. They can understand and grieve together.
With her husband, she created the Haram Foundation in Western Sydney in memory of her son. Staffed by volunteers and funded by donations, it offers a wide range of counselling, crisis and family support services, connecting with the community through initiatives like a free coffee van and thrift clothing store. It also helps migrant women experiencing or at risk of family violence and runs a shelter for women and children escaping abuse. She says migrant families may face stigma, language barriers and a lack of access to resources when trying to seek help.
In most of cases, the problems are complex, and so do their solutions are complex. And so, you know, as a bystander, it might be easy to look in and say that, why didn't she walk away? but it's not easy to walk away. It takes a lot of time to grasp what is going on, and sometimes due to cultural barrier, it could be considered as normal to live in that abusive relationship.
There are, as always, recognisable names on the honours list. The next, Governor-General Samantha Mostyn, was appointed a Companion of the Order of Australia for eminent services in several areas, including gender equality, sport and reconciliation. Former Labor Premiers Daniel Andrews and Mark McGowan and the late Federal Labor Leader Simon Crean also received the top honour. Among those from the sporting arena were former cricketer and breast cancer campaigner Glenn McGrath and former AFL player Bashar El-Hahouli, recognising his work with Muslim communities. Half of the list were women, and recipients' ages range from 29 to 98. Gomeroi elder Auntie Beryl Van Oplu has dedicated her life to improving the lives of Indigenous people through the power of education. For 50 years, she taught hospitality and employment skills, first at TAFE, then through the Job Ready program she developed in Sydney's Redfern 18 years ago.
If I see one of them graduate or one of them go on their own journey and have a better quality of life, then I'm doing my job.
Now 81, she still runs the Yamabage Catering Company, working alongside former students.
There was nowhere for us to find employment for our students that we trained. So I set up my own catering company, so I became the employer as well, not to make money, and but to give our mob an opportunity to work and then eventually go on their own journey.
She's promoted Indigenous ingredients through her own restaurants and in kitchens around the world, her tireless service being recognised with an OAM. Jacqueline Naneo was the third Australian-born female progressive rabbi ordained. Social justice has been at the heart of her life's work, including promoting interfaith dialogue and grassroots connections between Jews, Muslims and Christians. These connections have been tested by the conflict in the Middle East, but she says common ground can still be found. She's helped organise two recent interfaith prayer gatherings, uniting worshippers of many faiths in prayers for peace.
We are very lucky in that we had strong connections and relationships with people before this conflict happened. And I think that basis of trust and understanding that we have between us has enabled us to have some really difficult conversations, and it can be incredibly challenging. I'm not saying that it's easy for any of us, but I think, again, all of our hearts are in the right place and we all want the same thing. Like, we all want peace and we all want safety for everybody, and I think we can work together to continue to make that happen.
Her dedication to helping others has been recognised along with hundreds of other Australians. And that story by Edwina Guinan for SBS News.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Tomorrow night, Australia's leading Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander performing arts company, Bengara Dance Theatre, will premiere their first ever main stage cross-cultural collaboration, Horizon. Ahead of tomorrow night's premiere at the Sydney Opera House, NITV Radio caught up with Bengara dancer Amber Lily Gordon to chat to us about the powerful new performance as well as her journey as a dancer.
Hello, my name is Amber Lily Gordon. I'm a proud Wiradjuri and Nyima woman from Dubbo and Brewarrina, Central West, New South Wales. And this is my second year dancing with Bengara Dance Theatre.
Amazing. And how did you first get into dance?
Yeah, so that's a bit of a long story, so I'll try and keep it as short as possible. But basically, Bengara came to my school back in Dubbo in 2013, I think it was. And this was the very first year that they were trialing out their rekindling program. So we have a whole youth program with Bengara that does the rekindling program, and the New South Wales Public Schools Aboriginal Dance Company through the Department of Education and the Arts Unit. So basically, long story short, they came and did a few workshops at my school, and like I said, I never danced before, really, never taken a class, didn't even know who Bengara was. Yeah, so they came and we did some workshops, and a couple of months later they actually contacted my school because they chose me to be a part of the New South Wales Public Schools Aboriginal Dance Company and their rekindling program. So they, with that one, they pick about 15 to 20 kids in New South Wales, and we all come up to Sydney and train, and we get to learn Bengara rep and do a lot of gigs around Sydney, like Sydney State Dance Festival, School Spectacular. We did the opening for the Netball World Cup.
Well, that's really exciting. Such a great opportunity as well.
Yeah, it was literally like a switch in my brain. I was like, wow, I never knew that this could be a career. So yeah, from then on, I was like, oh, I really want to start dancing. Yeah, I just kept doing that all throughout high school. And then I went to study dance full time at NASDA, which is a Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander dance college on the Central Coast. I was doing dance classes back in Dubbo at Dubbo Ballet Studio, and I also went to Evanbow full time, which is a full time contemporary dance school here in Sydney. So I was wanting to get into Bengara ever since I started the youth program. So I was auditioning with Bengara, and unfortunately was unsuccessful for a couple of times there. But 2 years ago, 2022, it would have been, they actually chose me to be the Russell Page graduate trainee for the youth program. So I got chosen to actually go and teach the exact same workshops all around the country that I did back in 2013, which was a pretty big full circle moment. And from there, I was obviously working at the Bengara's office. So I was doing class with the company, just trying to get my way in there, kept auditioning. And yeah, just lucky got successful after a couple of years. And yeah, it's my second year dancing with them now.
Yeah, great. And such a great pathway as well, you know, from school and then, you know, that full circle moment that you spoke about. So that's really awesome. And you've come on to chat to us about Bengara's latest work, which will be premiering very soon, called Horizon. Can you tell us a little bit more about this performance?
Yeah, so this is a cross collaboration with two Bengara alumni, Sunny Ray Townsend, Deborah Brown, and Moss Patterson, who is a Māori choreographer from New Zealand. Yeah, it's been an absolute great experience working with both Deb, Moss and Sunny. They both have such amazing stories, being able to, you know, bring their vision to life. I feel like this is the first time Australia's really seen a cross collaboration with two First Nation and Indigenous artists. So, you know, being a proud Aboriginal woman myself, working with two Torres Strait Islander artists and a Māori choreographer is, yeah, I feel it's going to be such an amazing show, and I'm really privileged to be a part of it.
What's it like to be part of performances like this, learning new dances and being able to share culture and stories through this production alongside amazing choreographers?
Yeah, it's been unreal. All three of them work so differently, so it's been really amazing as a dancer to be able to, being able to, like, learn each of their languages, their dance languages, if that makes sense. Like I said, they all work so differently, especially with Moss. We've had the privilege of learning a lot of, like, song, dance, language, cultural stories that he's been sharing with us with his from his family ties, so that's been an incredible experience as well.
And can you tell us about the lead up to a performance like this? What's your preparation like and how is rehearsals going?
Yeah, so basically when we start a new show, we have a 10-week creation process. So literally just been the last 10 weeks working with Deb, Moss and Sunny, tasking, collaborating, creating movement, costumes, design. It's all done within 10 weeks. Some people think it's a long time, but it's really not, doing like an hour and a half show in that amount of time. But we're a week out and rehearsals are going really good. It can get a bit crazy, but we're all enjoying it. Still got a little tweaking to do with our show, but I feel like it's really going to come together in the next few days. So I'm really excited to share with everyone. I hope everyone enjoys it when they come and watch.
And it's going to premiere at the Sydney Opera House in June before touring around Australia. What's it like being on tour with Bangara?
Oh, it's incredible. So we'll be opening next Thursday, the 13th. And we'll be here for about a 5-week season doing 7 shows a week.
That's a lot of shows.
Yeah. Then we'll head to Canberra, Brisbane and Melbourne. So we've got a little bit of hard work coming up for us. But, I feel like it's just such an incredible show that you just don't get sick of it, for me anyways. Like, I love being on stage and I feel so honoured that I'm able to share all 3 of the choreographer's stories. So I feel like it's a bit of responsibility on my shoulders to be able to represent that on stage and communicate that through dance to the rest of the audience that's going to come and watch. So,
yeah, I was going to say, finally, what do you hope that the audience is going to take away from the performance when they come and watch?
Just the love of culture and the respect and appreciation. You know, I feel like being a part of one of the oldest living cultures, the only way our cultures are going to keep living is through storytelling and sharing the journeys. So just, yeah, really appreciate, because some people just don't know, you know, some of our cultural history. I didn't even know much about Māori experiences, Torres Strait Islander experiences. So just being able to share that with each other and discovering that for a first time as well. I just hope they enjoy it.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on NITV Radio to chat to me today, and all the best to you and the rest of Bangara ahead of the premiere next week. And I can't wait to come and watch. It sounds awesome.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for having me. Hopefully I get to catch up with you after the show.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
You're listening to the radio of NITV.
Radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can listen back to the show anytime online or catch any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back on Friday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
To reset. Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.